Splashing forward and avoiding a pair of wriggling leeches, the eldest Baudelaire reached forward and grabbed Aunt Josephine's hairnet off her head. She wrapped the crumpled part of the sail in the hairnet and then grabbed the fishing pole and attached the messy ball of cloth to the fish hook. It looked like she was about to go fishing for some kind of fish that liked sailboats and hair accessories for food. Thwack! Thwack! The sailboat tilted to one side and then to the other. The leeches had almost smashed their way through the side. Violet took the oar and began to rub it up and down the side of the boat as fast and hard as she could. "What are you doing?" Klaus asked, catching three leeches in one swoop of his net. "I'm trying to create friction," Violet said. "If I rub two pieces of wood enough, I'll create friction. Friction creates sparks. When I get a spark, I'll set the cloth and hairnet on fire and use it as a signal." "You want to set a fire?" Klaus cried. "But a fire will mean more danger." "Not if I wave the fire over my head using the fishing pole," Violet said. "I'll do that and hit the bucket like a bell, and that should create enough of a signal to fetch us some help." She rubbed and rubbed the oar against the side of the boat, but no sparks appeared. The sad truth was that the wood was too wet from Hurricane Herman and from Lake Lachrymose to create enough friction to start a fire. It was a good idea, but Violet realized, as she rubbed and rubbed without any result, that it was the wrong idea. Thwack! Thwack! Violet looked around at Aunt Josephine and her terrified siblings and felt hope leak out of her heart as quickly as water was leaking into the boat. "It's not working," Violet said miserably, and felt tears fall down her cheeks. She thought of the promise she made to her parents, shortly before they were killed, that she would always take care of her younger siblings. The leeches swarmed around the sinking boat, and Violet feared that she had not lived up to her promise. "It's not working," she said again, and dropped her oar in despair. "We need a fire, but I can't invent one." "It's okay," Klaus said, even though, of course, it was not. "We'll think of something." "Tintet," Sunny said, which meant something along the lines of, "Don't cry, you tried your best." But Violet cried anyway. It is very easy to say that the important thing is to try your best. But if you are in real trouble, the most important thing is not trying your best, but getting to safety. The boat rocked back and forth, and water poured through the cracks, and Violet cried because it looked like they would never get to safety. Her shoulders shaking with sobs, she held the spyglass up to her eye to see if, by any chance, there was a boat nearby, or if the tide had happened to carry the sailboat to shore, but all she could see was the moonlight reflecting on the rippling waters of the lake. And this was a lucky thing, because as soon as Violet saw the flickering reflection, she remembered the scientific principles of the convergence and refraction of light. The scientific principles of the convergence and refraction of light are very confusing, and quite frankly I can't make head or tail of them, even when my friend Dr. Lorenz explains them to me. But they made perfect sense to Violet. Instantly, she thought of a story her father had told her long ago when she was just beginning to be interested in science. When her father was a boy, he'd had a dreadful cousin who liked to burn ants, starting a fire by focusing the light of the sun with her magnifying glass. Burning ants, of course, is an abhorrent hobby. The word abhorrent here means what Count Olaf used to do when he was about your age. But remembering the story made Violet see that she could use the lens of the spyglass to focus the light of the moon and make a fire. Without wasting another moment, she grabbed the spyglass and removed the lens, and then, looking up at the moon, tilted the lens at an angle she hastily computed in her head. The moonlight passed through the lens and was concentrated into a long, thin band of light, like a glowing thread leading right to the piece of sail held in a ball by Aunt Josephine's hairnet. In a moment, the thread had become a small flame. "It's miraculous," Klaus cried as the flame took hold. "It's unbelievable," Aunt Josephine cried. "Fonty," Sunny shrieked. "It's the scientific principles of the convergence and refraction of light," Violet cried, wiping her eyes. Stepping carefully to avoid onboard leeches and so as not to put out the fire, she moved to the front of the boat. With one hand, she took the oar and rang the bucket, making a loud sound to get somebody's attention. With the other hand, she held the fishing rod up high, making a bright light so the person would know where they were. Violet looked up at her homemade signaling device that had finally caught fire, all because of a silly story her father had told her. Her father's ant-burning cousin sounded like a dreadful person, but if she had suddenly appeared on the sailboat, Violet would have given her a big grateful hug. As it turned out, however, this signal was a mixed blessing, a phrase which means something half good and half bad. Somebody saw the signal almost immediately, somebody who was already sailing in the lake, and who headed toward the Baudelaires in an instant. Violet, Klaus, Sunny, and even Aunt Josephine all grinned as they saw another boat sail into view. They were being rescued, and that was the good half. But their smiles began to fade as the boat drew closer and they saw who was sailing it. Aunt Josephine and the orphans saw the wooden peg leg and the navy blue sailor cap and the eye patch, and they knew who was coming to their aid. It was Captain Sham, of course, and he was probably the worst half in the world.